Now playing Movie Reviews in 20 Qs.
Hello, good people, and welcome to a mystery episode of the podcast Movie Reviews in 20 Qs. That's right, episode 99. We didn't throw it out there to let you guys know what we were doing. Instead, we decided to do a mystery episode. And for this mystery episode, I am joined by the formerly pregnant, now a beaming, beautiful, amazing, charming mother, Stacey Hurley. How are you, Stacey?
Oh, I'm super excited to be here.
Gone from ginger princess to ginger queen.
Yep.
Sure, why not?
Transition.
Yeah.
At about 4 o'clock on Sunday, the 21st of July, when a little bouncing, bubbly baby girl came screaming into the world. And the other voice you'll hear on this episode is Machu. How are you, Machu?
I'm good. Been watching a few movies lately and they all suck, so I'm really happy to be doing it in one of my old faves. Yeah.
Oh. Well, there we go. There's a little bit of a hint of what this week's movie is, but We'll let you guys out there in the podcast universe, we'll let you try and have a guess at it. The clue being that me and Stacey got knocked up, we had a kid, and that kid's been born, and that kid's going to knock me up.
What?
Wait.
Good work knocking Sam up there, Stacey.
Yeah, rewind.
That kid's going to knock me out is what I meant to say. The kid's going to knock me out, but yeah, it's Knocked Up. That's what we're doing this week. We're doing Knocked Up, the 2007 comedy directed by Judd Apatow, starring Seth Rogen, Catherine Heigl, Paul Rudd, Leslie Mann, Jason Segel, Jay Baruchel, Jonah Hill, Martin Starr, Iris Apatow, Maude Apatow, Joanna Kearns, Howard Ramis, Alan Tudyk, Kristen Wiig, and cameos by Ryan Seacrest and Dames Franco.
Yeah. And our old mate, Ken Jeong.
Yeah, he's in this as well. So is Adam Scott. So is BJ Novak. Oh, there's a lot of cameos in this. Now, Machu, one of your favourites, you reckon, eh?
Yeah, she's a good one. I've enjoyed this one, going back into the deep annals of the...
The deep annals, yep. We don't need to hear about your love life, bro. Well, maybe this is probably the best podcast for it, but yeah, anyway. Yeah, Knocked Up. If you haven't seen the film, which would be quite surprising as it's been out for quite some time and you're not planning on going to see it, well, you need a little bit of a refresher on what it's about. Stacey's going to hit us with a plot. So what's the plot of the film Knocked Up, Stacey?
Okay, so rising journalist Alison Scott, played by Catherine Heigl, hits a serious bump in the road after a one-night stand with irresponsible slacker Ben Stone, played by Seth Rogen, results in pregnancy. Rather than raise the baby on her own, she decides to give Ben a chance to prove he is father material. However, he's unsure if he's ready to be a parent, and both wonder if they would be compatible lifetime partners.
It's like the story of our life, really, eh? The parallels are phenomenal.
Yes, could be. Similar.
You're a highfalutin businesswoman, and I'm a slacker dude that got hit by a post truck and have been living off 14 grand for the last... for the last 6 years, and yep. Machu walked in on you giving birth.
Oh, is that who that was?
I was outside the window peering in. I didn't quite get inside.
I didn't think we were going to tell Stacey, but it looks like we have. Anywho, looking at the reviews of this film, 6.9 out of 10 on IMDb, 85% on Metacritic, 90% on Rotten Tomatoes, but Machu, as a score out of 10,000 baby books, what would you give this film?
Well, firstly, I want to say, fuck you, IMDb.
Yeah!
6.9. What's wrong with you? Where's your sense of humour? Yeah, I'm up there with Rotten Tomatoes, so I'll give this, what are we giving it? 9,100 baby bottles? Is that what you said?
Baby books.
Baby books.
Baby books.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have to read all those baby books? I might have to go right down to, we'll have to go down to 1,000. As long as we don't have to read them, 9,100.
Yeah. I'm with you, Machu. I'm up there too. I'm not as quite as high though. 8,642.
You're not quite as high.
Yeah, not quite as high.
You're not always high, just on the weekends and every other weeknight.
Yeah.
On every day ending with Y.
Yeah.
But not always.
No, I'm up there with you as well, Machu. I loved it when it came out. I still really enjoyed it on the rewatch. I'm going to give it 9,001. I'm just going to top it just over that 9,000 score for 9,001. So anyway, moving on to the questions. If you haven't heard this podcast before, what we do is we review a movie, this movie, by asking 20 weird and wonderful questions about it. We start with 10 that we all answer. We then move into 3 personal questions that we ask each. And then we sometimes finish on a listed question, but we've got something a little bit different at the end of this episode. We'll get a bit more into that at the end. So instead, for question 20, we are going to end on one of our Patreon questions, which has been submitted to us by our lovely Patreons. Now, Stacey, why don't you lead us off with what is question number one?
Okay, question one is a compliment sandwich. Name one good thing, one bad thing, and one good thing about this movie.
I'll start the performances. I really enjoyed the performances of not only the two lead actors, but also the supporting cast. I'm not a big Katherine Heigl fan, but this is the one film of hers I really, really enjoy. Bad thing, a little bit too long. There's a couple of unnecessary scenes. You're getting 2 hours 9, which is a long time to stay laughing at something. But, you know, it has enough of that drama and well-thought-out story to get you along there. Still just a little bit too long. And then final good thing. I like how brutally honest it is about parenthood. It doesn't shy away from, you know, like discussing the things that all fathers, and I think I'm speaking for me and Machu here, are thinking as well. Like the one scene where he's panicking and saying, you know, if the DeLorean showed up, would you not go back in time and be like, nah, bro, don't do it. Don't fucking do it. Like we all have those fears, and I like how it makes it really relatable that even like, you know, these wildly different people living in Los Angeles that are completely different to New Zealand and our culture still have, you know, very similar thoughts and beliefs on fatherhood and more parenthood in general. So, yeah. What about you, Machu?
Well, I'm glad you brought up the DeLorean. I actually saw a DeLorean on the way here, and
it's a sign, bro.
Yeah, maybe you're hyped up for this. And I disagree with what you're saying about how it's too long. I think it's a complete story. It goes into all those awkward moments that everyone thinks about. You know, it just feels like the real story. You know how people tell you, "Oh, this is how we met. We had this great date, and then we got together." No, you were drunk one night, you end up fucking, you made a little mistake. And since then, it's been super awkward getting to know each other because you realize the other one's a fuckwit, the other one's a bitch. And I just love that. And then they get together at the end, you know, they sort of work their way through their differences. What I didn't buy was the chemistry between Seth Rogen and Katherine Heigl. I just thought it was a bit, you know, in what world?
Oh, bro.
Not
absolutely.
In the real world.
Yeah.
Maybe Westworld? I don't know. Well, a made-up world where anything can happen, but not in the real world. Yeah, lastly, what I liked about this movie was the long list of friends that they just roll out into the movie. Yeah. Is this what it's about, Hollywood now? Like, it's about how many mates have you got and how many of them can you fit in the movie? And that's what Avengers has turned into, eh? Like,
pretty much.
Look at all my mates.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. My first good thing about this movie is Seth Rogen. He's so good in this. His character is really heartfelt, and you can tell underneath all that goofiness he's a really good guy. So I thought that was really effective. The part of the story that I didn't get is that Allison has no friends. Like, this is all about the boy group, like the boy group. Allison is only friends with her sister and her husband.
That's so true, though. That's the girls just default. As soon as they get hooked up with a boy, they just default to their one significant family member that they connect with, whether it be their sister, their mum, their dad, and that's it.
Yeah. It was funny because, like, the only two other Allison friends that we see are these two girls in the movie that see her and they're like, "Oh, you're pregnant. Oh, wow." And then they meet fucking Seth Rogen. They're like, "Oh, who's this guy?" sort of thing, eh?
Yeah, and they instantly disown her outside the baby shop, basically. They're like, "Oh, we can't be friends with you if you're with him."
And then, conversely, yeah, Seth Rogen's just picking up mates left, right, and center.
Yeah.
Meets a dude like once or twice, and then they're off to Vegas to give it a new mushroom. What?
Exactly.
How is that possible?
And my final good thing is this movie is genuinely funny, and it's a well thought out, well written story, which is rare in a comedy movie.
Interesting. Okay, I'll smash this over to question number two, which is what's something from this film that you noticed that you don't think other people might have immediately noticed?
We're going back into time now, looking at a film from 2007. Yep. And this was the first film that really a number of these stars were rolled out onto the big screen. And I think what no one else noticed is this is basically the NFL drafting of movies. So this is their audition, and then they get picked up. So I think first draft was Jonah Hill.
Yeah. Big pick, man.
And then maybe
double Jason, Oscar nominee, man. Double
Jason
Oscar.
Jason Segel was the next.
Segel.
Segel. What's his name?
Segel. Segel.
Was he next off the list in How I Met Your Mother? Does he get draft number two?
Pretty much, yeah.
We'd seen Paul Rudd before, so he's not really in the NFL draft there. But yeah, it was just an interesting way that these guys get all layered into one movie and then see where their careers ended up. And I thought that's something that probably everyone noticed. But
yeah. Who do you reckon's been the biggest winner out of the, like, out of everyone that's come out of this movie? Like, Jonah Hill's been nominated for two Oscars.
Jonah Hill, definitely.
Yeah. That's a good point, Machu.
This is a turning point, this movie.
Yeah.
Maybe people know this, maybe they don't, but the two kids in the movie, Charlotte and Sadie, are played by Judd Apatow and Leslie Mann's real-life kids.
Yeah, so Leslie Mann is the mother to her own kids in this film.
Yes.
Yeah, I of course noticed that, but yeah, other people might not have. It's
of course.
A good one. Yeah, so one thing I noticed that I don't think other people might have immediately noticed was that a lot of jokes are made about how, you know, while they're having sex or whatever, she's like, just do it, and he like leaves the condom off or whatever, right? The next day, and even after that, when he's having conversation with his mates and shit, he's like, I don't even remember having sex. Like, he even asked her, did we have sex? But later on, he specifically remembers and explains to the baby, he's like, your mum just said to me, just do it. And I thought she meant just have sex with me. And you know what I mean? So I was like, that's a bit of a movie mistake. We've also got to make mention that there's a new Kiwi song in this.
For those American listeners, Savage is one of our great exports, and here's the song Swing when they're getting on the booze and getting to know each other in the bar.
Now let me hear your hip. Oh, now let me see your hip swing. Like that song, eh? He's doing the dice too much. I think that's all he's really got. Yeah, that's a Kiwi song. That was pretty cool. Okay, what's question number three there, Machu?
So what deep philosophical debate arose in you during this film?
Well, at the nightclub, Debbie, Allison's sister, is really like, she really wants a night out. She wants to forget that she's married and just go crazy. Do you think that Debbie would go for Jason if she was single?
Oh, absolutely.
given her sister's taste, eh? Jason's a step up from old Ben.
Yeah, he's a foot taller and I don't know what he does for a job, but he's probably something better than being hit by a fucking postal truck.
And he doesn't speak like he's got a trash can in his mouth as well, eh? He's actually got a bit of wit. A good banter too.
Very strong and confident too.
Yeah, respectful. Not really,
wow, a bit of bromance. Yeah, for the old Jace man.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I reckon. She you could see it in her eyes. There was a bit of a tickle.
What about you, Sam?
My deep philosophical debate. Well, there's two. There's the one that centers on this film is which relationship is probably the most doomed, and whether that is Ben and Allison or Pete and Debbie, which is Paul Rudd and Leslie Mann. Because both of those relationships seem absolutely destined to fail. And I was thinking, which one of them will got a divorce first? But because they're sisters and they like doing stuff with each other, maybe they get divorced at the same time.
And then old Ben and Pete get together, have a bit of bromance.
Yeah. Yeah. Why don't you two go jump into a time machine and go fuck yourself?
This is my time machine, while he stares back at him drinking his
Where we're going, rum. We won't need roads. The other one I had was we were talking about how Seth Rogen and Katherine Heigl is completely unbelievable. And me and Stacey went and saw Long Shot this year, really enjoyed that film, in which Seth Rogen hooks up with Charlize Theron. It's like, which one's the most unbelievable? Charlize or Katherine Heigl?
They made an even more ridiculous scenario there, eh? Not only is it Charlize, but she's about to be the president.
Yeah.
Oh, so you've just gone from E! News reporters who are notorious for being sexy as to actually the most powerful woman in the world.
Yeah.
Who's also probably a sexier than most of those E! News presenters.
Yeah. Exactly. So what was your deep philosophical debate there, Machu?
Seth Rogen and Paul Rudd discuss what it would like going back in time and not having kids. And
this is about to take a turn, isn't it?
And it made me think, I wonder what my life would be without me, because I've only just recently been a father. But,
3 years.
Yeah, 3 years. But I wonder what my life would be like. Would I be hanging out with my mates, trying to create a website, watching my favourite celebrities get naked each day, playing ping pong and getting high by the disgusting green pool.
Probably.
The thing we have to remember here is that these guys are in their early 20s, right? Yes, they look a lot older, but I mean, was your life too different when you were in your early 20s?
Yes.
No comment.
Actually, once when I was 16, one of my mentors said to me, you don't even want to have a girlfriend till you're 30.
Holy Holy shit. They got
you. You can have girls, but not girlfriends, all right?
Oh, okay.
All right. Thanks, Dad.
Awesome.
Okay, what's question number four there, Stace? Oh, hey. Question number four is one of our Patreon questions. These questions come courtesy of our wonderful Patreons who give us $5 a month to have their questions in our top 10. This one is courtesy of Dave Baker, who has his own Patreon, patreon.com/yourfavorite. On it, he posts a cornucopia of creative content, range from pro samples, curated YouTube recommendations, YouTube video essays, and written essays on Medium. So yeah, all go check it out. The link is in the show notes below. But what would he like to know there, Stacey?
He would like to know, which two characters would you want at a house party?
Well, I would definitely want Katherine Heigl there. I mean,
really?
Yeah,
really?
Absolutely. Really? We see what she's like when she gets had a few to drink. Jesus.
Yeah.
So she's going to make someone have a lucky night. Doesn't matter what kind of party you have. If you're sitting there talking to the hottest chick at the party, you have had the best night of your life. So
true. And she doesn't seem to tolerate losers as well. She might be pretty good for
us. Yeah. Anybody is the, yeah. And Jonah Hill. I mean, we always want to have a laugh. And also, I just feel like he didn't compete with Seth when he was going after Katherine Heigl. So he had an early night. And yeah, if I was talking to her, I wouldn't want a really witty, charming, short, fat man destroy my chances of his hot wheel.
I just like Which I
could,
used to.
Could easily be done.
Just like I used to. Yeah, I definitely want Paul Rudd's character of Pete. You know, he knows bands. He could get a couple of famous people to your party. He'd be pretty cool. And yeah, I'm just going to go with Seth Rogen's character, Ben Stone. You know, he seems like a fun, lovable chap. He's always up for a good time. The other guys seem a little bit too psycho. You know, like I think Jason Segel might try to fuck my wife.
Yeah, that's
Martin
right.
Martin Starr's doing the old dirty man challenge.
No, gross.
Jonah Hill seems like a bit of a nut job. You know, like the first time he meets Allison, he's like, hey, and then just stares at her belly, just like fucking intently. Yeah, there wasn't too many other characters there that I think would be awesome. Yeah, I'm going with those two.
With Seth Rogen, like some of the stuff he says is absolutely horrifying, eh? But if you're just standing there one-on-one, it's actually some quality banter.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If you're on the piss, it's perfect, man.
You're trying to pick up, if he was trying to pick up a girl having a normal conversation in the office space, yeah, he'd be the first one fired.
So true.
Well, I agree with you, Sam. I've actually got Ben and Pete as well. Because mainly because of their road trip to Vegas. They just look like they know how to have a good time.
So you want a couple of dudes to show up at your place, take shrooms and flip out. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, well, they just sit themselves on the chairs and marvel at how amazing they are. And
how many different chairs we have.
How many different chairs there are.
The best guest, the one that just into themselves the whole time.
Yeah. Okay, and that moves us over to question number five, which is a new question in our podcast. What is the most ridiculously unbelievable part of this film?
Well, I can't believe that Allison actually stays at Ben's flat. It's pretty gross. His flatmates are gross. His room looks pretty dodgy. Like, I don't know when he would have changed those sheets. Ugh.
Yep. That's a good point.
I couldn't get over the ordeal they had to go through to get a doctor. And in New Zealand, we don't have to we don't use doctors. We use midwives in the child birthing. What do you call it? The childbirthing phase.
Process. Administrative.
The logistics of getting a baby out of your body. Yeah. They're in a room. It looks like a waiting room at the emergency ward at a hospital. Like, that can't be right. Surely. American listeners, tell me it's not true.
Let's go on a little rant about the American health system, eh?
Yeah. Why didn't you? Is that Obamacare or is that Trump care now? Yeah. I don't understand. We have one doctor look at her vagina and tell her it looks like his sister's.
Exactly.
Yeah, these you do look alike. That is unbelievable.
So the most unbelievable thing for me is watching, having now seen this, having seen Stacey go through 41 hours of labor, is watching Katherine Heigl in labor. She's like having normal conversations, you know, moving the plot along and all that sort of shit, like having a chat with Ben. It's like, that's bullshit, man. I'm the pro at pregnancy now. Women are absolute messes while they're like in labor and trying to give birth and stuff. They can't have these full blown conversations like she did. That was my part that I'm calling bullshit on.
I think we can safely say all movie births are a bit like that.
It's true. It is true. And that moves us on to question number 6, which is also a Patreon question. And this question comes courtesy of the amazing woman that is Emily Higgins, who runs the Tasteless Podcast. Podcast in which she compares two movies, one that everyone loves and, you know, she sort of says is meh, and then one that she really thinks is really underrated, you know, deserving a bit more praise. It's an awesome podcast. She was on recently on the Silence of the Lambs episode. You guys should all go check it out. You can find her link in the show notes below. What would she like to know there, Mitchie?
What character has probably gone the longest without showering?
And we've ruled out Martin Starr's character, yeah, the one that's doing the Duty Man Challenge, haven't we?
Yes.
What do you reckon, Sage?
Oh, it's got to be Jodie, his girlfriend, who he's... She's so high. She doesn't even know what's going on.
That's a good one. Yeah, it's hard not to pick one of the dudes, but I am going to go with the youngest kid.
What?
Youngest one of the Apatow kids, which is Charlotte or Sadie, one of them. You know, kids, they only shower like once a week.
What?
Yeah, kids don't shower very much.
Have you seen their house? Have you seen how well maintained their house is?
Yeah.
Their kids will be well maintained as well. My kids have a bath every day.
I reckon they've got a drunk mum, though. I don't reckon she's like really taking that good a care of them.
She goes out to town and then drives herself home.
Yeah, exactly. That's not a mother that's bathing her children, bro.
Yeah, I went with the dudes. I didn't go with one of them. I went with all of them. I couldn't separate them. I mean, if they showered every day, they wouldn't all get pink eye.
True.
They would have gone to sleep on their bed and then woken up and had a shower and washed it off. Poo particles got in their eyes.
Yeah, and I can just see them jumping in that gross green pool and going, oh, yeah, that's freshened up there.
Yeah, that kind of counts as a shower.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, question number 7. How would you incorporate Nicolas Cage into this movie?
I was waiting for you to try and work out why I got you to ask the questions first, because I looked down and saw what order it was in.
You scammed me again.
Scammed you again. In this movie, we have BJ Novak, Ken Jeong, a couple of other random actors sort of pop up as these random sort of doctor roles, where they're trying to find a doctor to have, you know, give birth to their child with. And I would have loved Nicolas Cage as some weird, bizarre doctor that they're like, no fucking way we're using him. No fucking way.
Why wouldn't he have been the choice?
What? Look, I've seen his surgery skills. I've seen him take a face off. Oh. I don't think he's fucking the sort of man that you want delivering your kids, man.
Right.
Yeah, I had Martin Starr's character because I just want to see him grow a dirty beard, grow his hair long, and just the whole cast take the piss out of him for an entire movie. That would be awesome.
Oh, well, I'm going to give him the role of the head of the fantasy baseball league club.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think he'd do a good job at telling old Debbie to get the hell out of there.
It's funny because you've got quite a few fantasies about Nicolas Cage, don't you?
Yeah, all involving him not being in movies I'm watching.
What would he say to get her out of there? You've got 1, 2, 3 seconds to get out of here.
Yeah, something like that.
Question number 8. Which character from this film would you get to represent your posse in a rap battle?
I've got Debbie.
Really?
Ooh. She's got some sass, eh?
She's got some sass.
Yeah, you know, you'd be trying to throw down with her in a rap battle and she'd gone, yeah, remember that time I walked in when you were masturbating?
Ooh,
oh, she's got those deep burns.
That's good.
Stop treating my children like they're a dog.
I'm going with Jay, just because he seems the least high out of all the guys. And he might actually be able to get some words out.
Interesting. I am going to go with Craig Robinson's character, the doorman.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
He is harsh, man. He puts her in her fucking place.
That's the one person that Debbie gets shut down by as well.
Yeah. I would love to tap that ass. But look at you, you're old as shit. She's pregnant. We can have some old as shit bitches and pregnant Britches running around this place.
Okay, question number 9. What quote from this film would be the worst to hear straight after sex?
Well, you've already mentioned it earlier in this podcast, but when old the gynecologist looks at her vagina and goes, wow, you do look like your sister. It's not something you want to hear.
That's a good one. I like the bit at the end where they picked the doctor who never goes on holidays and then they find out that he has gone on a holiday when Alison's giving birth.
Yep.
And he rings up and he's like, you know, having a bit of a mouth off. And I'm just going to paraphrase the last bit of it. And you know what I'm going to have to do now? I'm going to have to kill you. I'm going to pop a cap in your ass. You're dead. You're Tupac. You're a fucking Biggie, you piece of shit. I hope you fucking die. I drop the chair and kill that fucking kid. I hope your plane crashes. Peace, fucker.
Whoa.
Do not want to hear that after sex.
Yeah, I just had, during the moment where they're having that big fight at near the end of the film, when Katherine Heigl says to Ben, "Why don't you go fuck your fucking bong?" That would be real weird, eh? Like, yeah. Just straight after sex, "Why don't you go fuck your fucking bong?" Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe in half an hour or so. Yeah. Give a man a chance to recharge. Yeah. Reload.
Question number 10. What scene would have benefited from someone getting hit in the balls?
Making a triumphant return. I would have liked if during the birthing scene, if Seth Rogen had made some joke or something and then she was like, "You've got no idea how bad this feels." And he's like, "Yeah, come on, it can't be that bad," or something. And then someone just, or even one of his friends, like Jay came in, or one of them was just like, "Can't be that bad." And then someone just smokes the other dude in the nuts and goes, "That's what it feels like, bro. That's what it feels like."
Yeah, and just continues to do that for hours and hours on end.
Yeah, not just once. Yeah. 41 hours of getting punched in the balls.
You're trying to turn fucking Knocked Up into a bloody hostel or something, Stacey. That's a fucking horror movie.
No, I was just trying to be accurate.
Yeah, I had when Paul Rudd tells the boys about the website Mr. Skin.
Oh, yeah.
And then if he said that, one of them just walked up to him and punched him straight in the nuts.
You've ruined our dreams, bro. You've crushed them.
Well, I think it's got to be the post-earthquake Ben. So when they're out on the street, or, you know, when she finally catches up to him after he's run out of the house without her with his bong.
Oh, and she almost gets impaled by a fucking katana or a knife or a sword,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah. So that's, he needs a kick in the balls then.
Speaking of that, it's now onto my three questions. And my first question is, what would be the first thing that you would save in an earthquake before your significant other? And I must mention, there was a earthquake down in Christchurch. A number of my friends live down there. I think, were you down there at the same time, Stacey? Yep. And my friends, apparently, all of them, all ran into this the lounge to try and save their TVs before they tried to save their girlfriends.
Oh, good luck.
So I just thought I'd ask you guys, what would be the first thing that you would save in an earthquake before your significant other, which is actually each other?
Good point.
Now you've got a more significant other, actually, so you've kind of both knocked down the list. So.
Yeah. I was thinking about it, and I was like, I've got a couple of X-Men comics that are signed by Stan Lee, so it'd probably be that. I've also got a bike, a computer, all the podcasting gear. I've got this Rolling Stones drumstick. I've got a TV, got an Xbox. What else? Washing machine, couch.
How are you going to carry all this shit, Sam?
King size bed.
And where are you taking it?
Also, how valuable are those? Are you still trying to sell those Stan Lee signed comics?
Yeah. There'll be a link to.
They're about as valuable as the nobody that's trying to buy them at the moment.
Exactly. Yeah. Fuck, they saw me coming, man. It's not even like Stan Lee. It's some guy named Stan Lee.
Yeah, well, I've actually been in an earthquake, and the things that you need to save are things that are breakable and that you can't go back for, or that would be difficult to go back for once they've already broken. But otherwise, everything else you can get back later. So Ben was kind of right in rescuing his bong, because that would just smash. Like, that's made of glass. But and everything
I'm made
else,
of glass too.
Everything
you
else that fell down in his room, it's fine. He just goes back and picks it up later.
True.
So he can get a punch in the balls, but he was still right.
Well, yeah, but still.
Fair enough.
And here's a good life hack as well. Like, the first thing that ran out, I asked the guys about what the first thing that ran out during the Christchurch earthquakes, whether it was water, and they said, no, it was alcohol. So if you're in an earthquake, make sure you save your alcohol.
The booze. Yeah, true.
Yep. So that's going to be first to smash, unfortunately, though.
Not if you get there before you get there first, significant other second.
Well, that's a good case.
Well, significant other's about 12 on my list, by the look of it.
It's just making a good case for buying canned alcohol.
Yeah.
Okay, during the movie, the boys all come up with an idea to start a website called Flesh of the Stars, where they basically point out parts of celebrities' movies where they get naked. So what is the stupidest business idea or other stupid ideas that you've come up with your friends?
Oh, there's been a few. This one I didn't come up with my friends, but it's one that I came up with on my own. Is I was like thinking it'd be pretty funny if there was like a Tinder version of like advice that you give to other people. So what you do is you go on effectively an app, you open the app, and then you ask the universe a question like, hey, I'm thinking about breaking up my girlfriend, what should I do? And then basically just some stranger in the world will reply to you and give you their like answers or advice. And I was going to call it bad advice. because it's bad advice sort of thing. And I was like, shit, maybe there's some ground. Like, maybe that'll make some money. And then I was like, I don't know anything about app development. I don't know anything of that shit. Fuck that. Fuck that. It's just stupid. Stacey would probably say me and my idea of selling Stan Lee comics as well is pretty.
Yeah, it's a business idea. Another business.
But they're real cheap in America, real expensive in New Zealand. I've done the research for like a year, babe.
Okay. Well, we'll see. We'll see. When they sell.
And before we move on to Stacey's answer for this, I've got to point out that this question is pretty close to home for you, isn't it, Mr. Bitcoin?
I've had worse ideas. We started a band called The Bladesmen when I was down in Canterbury at uni. One of our first songs was we need to come up with a song that resonated with all our friends, and so our first song was having the No Pussy Blues. We've got the No Pussy Blues. And like, we were legit. We didn't get signed, but we
oh, no shit.
Oh no.
But we did perform live, and we opened with that song. We've got the No Pussy Blues.
Perform live, so one of your guys' girlfriends came around while you guys were playing in the fucking garage and was like, what the fuck are you guys doing? Like, hang around, babe, listen to this.
We'll post some links to the song after this. Is MySpace still around?
What instrument did you play?
I'm a writer. I write the songs. I was a co-writer.
You wrote a song called No Pussy Blues. What a revelation.
Wow.
I mean, our next song was called I'm a Sex Machine. and then after that it was We Even Got Even More Confident Than I'm the Best at Sex in the World.
I'm a sex machine. What machine is that? The Hindenburg?
I'm the best at sex in the world, and I just got out of jail because no jail could hold the man who is the best at sex in the world. Jeez, those lyrics. So this
is like
Jay-Z, are you listening?
Someone actually wrote this, and it was Muchu's
personal diary from university days.
I can't believe we're 99 episodes in and we've only just discovered this about you. This is unreal. Okay, well, we might even end the podcast with one of your songs. Just a snippet of your song.
Definitely.
Here we go.
Okay. My answer is, so as a business idea, this podcast is a terrible business idea. We're not really making any money from it, but it's a great hobby.
It's a great hobby. Oh, you mean
geez, and you were hassling me about Bitcoin. Bitcoin's more stable than this podcast, buddy.
You can eat a dick, Muchu. Yeah, I know, you've got a good point there. Like, thousands of dollars spent on fucking podcasting gear, turning down sponsors, not wanting to go commercial, not promoting ourselves. Yeah, okay, fine.
Yeah.
We're trying to keep it real, keeping our Patreon to minimum levels that you can get everything on.
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Our business model is a little bit flawed.
Yeah, we're holding ourselves back.
What's your final question then, Muchu?
Sorry, my final question here is, how would you sweet talk your way past the line at the bar if you were pregnant?
If I was pregnant? If I was pregnant, I'd either be hanging out with Arnie or in a fucking government bloody testing facility getting operated on, bro.
And then how would you sneak past the bouncer at the front of the line? How would you sweet talk Craig to get yourself in?
Oh, easily a couple of $100 in the hand, man. That's just the only way I think
I'd sweet talk.
Yeah. Nothing talks better than money, bro.
Ah, yeah, you got me there.
Well, it's got to be something to do with the baby's daddy. So the baby's daddy is inside and he doesn't have his phone with him and a house is burning down or something like that.
The baby's daddy's inside. I wonder how many times that gets told every night.
Oh, hundreds.
I need to get in. My baby daddy's inside. It's like the guy that hangs outside like those male strip shows and goes, my girlfriend's inside. I've just got to run in and grab her.
Yeah.
Stand outside there, mate.
Okay, so maybe that would be the opposite. That would keep you out of the club. Yeah.
Isn't that a joke out of Wayne's World as well, where that guy's like, I've got to get in there. My girlfriend's in there. And he's like, there's a lot of people's girlfriends in there.
I've got to get my baby daddy out of the bar where he's spending copious amounts of money on alcohol trying to get away from me. And
okay, that's a massive fail. I clearly wouldn't be getting into the club.
Anywho, that moves us over to my set of three questions. The first question that we've got up here, in the film, Martin Starr gets challenged to do the Dirty Man Challenge, where he's not allowed to shave or cut his hair for a year. Otherwise, he has to pay the rent of the other five guys in the house. How long do you guys reckon you could do the Dirty Man Challenge for?
A year. I can do
really?
It.
Really?
You're going to pay my mortgage for a year? I'll pay all of everyone else's mortgages for a year.
Local man declared bankrupt after 1 week.
Yeah, see my goddamn mortgage.
Interesting.
Either a year or a day.
I'm definitely going with a day, bro.
Yeah, I don't know. It is pretty enticing prize and it seems to be well worth it. But for me personally, it would be 1 week max. Oh, who am I kidding? I'd last 3 days and that's it.
Fair enough, fair enough. Next question. Alison and Ben obviously have this baby and, you know, as me and Stacey have discovered, babysitters come at a premium. You want someone you know and you can trust. So from you guys, which one of Seth's group do you reckon would you get to babysit your kids?
Following on from what Stacey was saying before with our little bromance with Jason, I think Jason. In fact,
really?
I think me and him could just raise a baby together. I don't think it would be that bad. This is a pretty quality banter.
The dude that runs out naked into earthquakes.
Yeah. Hey, you know, sometimes you've just got to go for those priorities. I'm sure he went for the alcohol first, so.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting. There's no right answer here, by the way, guys.
I'm going with Martin, because he's just.
Really?
There's no right answers, but there's wrong answers.
There's very wrong answers.
Hey. Okay, so he attempted, but in the end, he gave in. So he did the right thing eventually. But he's just real chill, and he just doesn't seem as reckless as the others.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I'd want Charles Manson looking after my baby. Damn, goddamn Unabomber.
The artist formerly known as Cat Stevens. Yeah, fucking be pretty weird, man. Be pretty weird. And finally, this whole movie revolves around the premise of two random people sort of hooking up and, you know, getting it on, having a kid. So I want to know from you guys, what other movie would totally bang this movie if it got the chance?
Any movie that they've listed on Flesh of the Stars. This movie isn't fussy.
Cut.
This movie in the cuts.
Meg Ryan. Yeah. She's pretty much naked the entire film.
This movie's a slut, eh? Like,
you reckon?
This movie's going to go after any movie with a celebrity getting naked at any point.
But what movie do you reckon would go after this one is what I'm asking.
Go yeah, after yeah, this yeah, one. Yeah.
Oh, I want to slap those cheeks.
Baywatch, maybe?
Oh, yeah.
That's a pretty desperate movie. That's looking for friends.
Yes. A movie that we restarted our hiatus on because you demanded we review it, thinking, oh, it must have been pretty good.
I'm glad I missed that one. No, I've got the right answer here, Machu, just to fill you in.
There's no right answers here.
Blockers would go for this movie.
Oh.
So the parents are trying to stop their kids from hooking up with anyone.
Yes.
So maybe if that had happened. This would be different. Yeah, and not to mention Leslie Mann crossover. So she's just central to the whole thing.
I'd like to cross over Leslie's man.
Until she blames you for making her towels not being soft anymore, eh?
Yeah, well, that's true.
with all your discreet, with air quotes, masturbating.
So that's why our towels are all...
Hey. There's only a certain level of personal
I didn't even wipe my hands on the towel after I washed my hands here, eh?
You're just drip dry. Just walking around the house is crop dusting it with water.
Okay, right. That moves us on to my set of three
questions. Thank God. Let's move on, please. Thank you.
Okay. So, guys, you're both fathers now. Did you read the baby books?
No, but I've had the conversation about how I didn't read the baby books.
What he said.
Carol read the baby book. And I'm constantly reminded about stuff. But I think like girls, they cherry pick parts of the baby books and they use it against fathers.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like the bits where the dad comes home from 9 hours of work and he has to, you know, do all the cooking and the cleaning and, you know, and he's got to change the babies and he's got to put the babies to sleep and then he's got to come home from work and do all that.
Any part of a baby book that starts with, you know what you should do. Need to do, according to the books. Oh, fuck, I should really read these books and figure it out.
We're like 2 weeks in, and apparently the baby book's saying that she's going to have a ladies' weekend where she goes off to Bali for a week. And I was like, what the fuck? That's oddly specific to be in a baby book.
Have you read the part about where the push ring is in the baby book? I don't know about that.
No.
Apparently if we have to buy another ring.
Oh, really? Shit, I haven't read that book. You idiot.
It's because it's not a book. Damn it. Okay. Can we cut this part out of the podcast and out of our memories?
Baby book written by Carol Taylor.
I think you've got this wrong. If you actually read baby books, or even if you didn't, you could just make shit up and throw it back, you know.
What, you mean like I've been doing? I've been found out now, but yeah. Hey, I sort of read them, didn't I? I've read the pertinent chapters.
Like, you're exactly right, Mark. true. I cherry-picked a couple of pages and said, read this.
She did.
Not the whole 1,000 pages, just two.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
Okay. So we heard how Ben is surviving on his 14K payout from the Postal Service injury he received some years ago.
Yeah, like 6 years beforehand.
He's very economical. He's made that money go quite far.
How do you think he's getting drunk in the bar?
Exactly.
He gets blackout drunk, according to him.
That was actually one of my unbelievable parts, was like why him and all his mates who have no money whatsoever are down at the pub getting blistered. You know what I mean? Like you would.
It's
if
a
you were
fancy
broke,
bar
go,
too.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
That's a bar you probably have to pay to get in.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. And they wouldn't let a man star in a singlet or tank top, as they call it in America. They wouldn't be heading down there to spend $150, $200 on booze just to, you know.
Jonah Hill, he gets out there early, so maybe he's saving some money.
Yeah, he's worked it out. He's done a typical Muchu thing where it's like, oh, we're all doing rounds? Yep, sweet. And then like three or four rounds in, it's Muchu's turn, and oh, I've got to go home, boys. I've got a phone call. And then you roll out of the bar, and then you like go past another bar, and Muchu's going to meet up with another group of friends, and he's doing rounds with them. Yeah, I'm onto your game, bro. How do you drink for free, New Zealand style?
Okay, guys, so the question is...
Is there a question? What are you talking about?
How would you guys stretch the 14K? How long do you reckon you make it last?
I reckon 20-year-old me would have been able to stretch the shit out of that. Like me at university, reckon, at least a year or like possibly more. Me now, 2 hours.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Like I was living off like $150 a week at uni, and I went out six nights a week and got blind drunk every night. Yeah. And now I make a pretty good living, and I go out zero times a month, and I've got no money. So I don't know how that works.
It's so true, eh? Hey. It's amazing how much you just like how you can live off like 2 minute noodles for like 7 days and like toast. You know what I mean? I would love to have like tested my body as like, well, you've got a deficiency in every known mineral to man and every known vitamin to man. But yeah. Your fiber levels are high.
Yeah, I've got a deficiency. Now I've got what's the opposite of deficiency? Well, I've got that. I've got every...
Deficiency?
Efficiency?
Opt-deficiency? I don't know what you call it.
Oh, I'm basically on my way to being obese, but...
Yeah. Excessivity. There we go. Yeah. How long could you last, Stacey? You couldn't even make it out of this garage.
No, I wouldn't.
Back into the house.
I wouldn't.
Babe, so I've just brought...
Yeah, that's why we always keep needing a pay rise or a new job.
True.
Okay.
If you'd like to join our Patreon for the low sum of $1,000 a day.
you could fund Stacey's lifestyle for one step towards the house.
Exactly.
It's 30 steps, so we need 30 grand.
Yes, yeah. Correct.
Yep. Okay, so my final question is, which character has killed somebody and not told anyone?
Oh, it's easily Kristen Wiig's character of Jill. He is just evil, and I could imagine she would kill someone and then not tell someone, mostly because she's got no one to tell. I don't reckon anyone likes her or she's got any friends.
I think you guys have missed the obvious, which is Jodie, Martin Starr's girlfriend. She is... Where'd she come from? And the only person that would go out with Charles Manson and the Unabomber surely is up for killing anybody. And I think I think Jodie definitely would.
Okay, and that moves us down to question number 20. Also a Patreon question comes courtesy of the amazing man that is Julio. That was on our most recent episode of The Muppets. Julio runs the Contrarians podcast, a podcast in which they basically rage against the Rotten Tomato machine. So they, you know, talk about a film that's highly rated and they say why it sucks. And then they do sort of like an honest talk where they basically sort of reveal their true feelings about the film. But yeah, what's his Patreon question there, Stace?
Question 20, what is your most controversial opinion about this film?
My controversial opinion about this film is, it's a romantic comedy, and every romantic comedy has the meet cute, bit of like awkwardness, eventually break up for some reason, then, you know, big grand gesture, they get back together. And this film follows that formula. I honestly would have liked it if by the end, at least Leslie Mann and Paul Rudd or Seth Rogen and Katherine Heigl, at least one of those relationships wasn't still together. Because I just don't buy them whatsoever. Mm. I just don't get them as being in a relationship.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's one of the big down points of this movie. Like, yeah, it's sweet, ties it up in a bow or something. But it would have been a lot more like memorable or a lot more like realistic if it was just like, no, wait a minute, I'm a very well-to-do e-reporter. why the fuck would I be with this guy? Sure, I have him in my life and have him as a father. He wants to do that. That's awesome. But I've got no sexual attraction to this guy. I've got, you know what I mean? Like, I don't really approve of any of his lifestyle choices. This isn't for me, you know?
Yeah. My most controversial opinion is there better chemistry between Ben and Seth Rogen and Paul Rudd than there is between Seth Rogen and Katherine Heigl? And I think there is.
Yes. Yeah.
I think if they had a knocked up film and it was between those two, I think it would be more believable.
I've got to add a little touch, though, of the controversial opinion. I think Katherine Heigl is actually quite a decent actress.
Yeah,
I think people give her so much grief for just doing rom-coms and shit like that. It's quite funny. I actually used to have an ex-girlfriend that looked like Katherine Heigl.
What?
Yeah, it was a body pillow I printed off of her.
I thought you got a tattoo on your hand or something.
Even I went next level, bro. I printed off a body pillow. That's a joke, everyone. I'm joking. I'm absolutely joking.
We're going to check in those big boxes that you got hidden in the basement there.
Yeah.
Underneath the stairs. Like,
yeah.
Sam, why are you going underneath the stairs again? Jeepers.
Well, if you actually turn around some of the noise insulation that's in this room, you pleasant discovery. What, unpleasant discovery? No, I'm just kidding, everyone. Okay, what's your controversial opinion, Stace?
I think Seth Rogen does a great job in this leading role. So I think that without him in that role, this movie would be worse off.
Yeah.
Yet, I think that switching out Katherine Heigl, the movie could be the same or even better with a different actress.
Really?
Who do you think would be like someone believable? What about Meg Ryan? No.
That's a good question. Yeah, it could be an older lady.
Elizabeth
could be like
Banks?
A cougar.
What's her name? Probably not. I still don't believe it.
No, I still don't believe it. Elizabeth Banks is, she's cool. Anne Hathaway was actually originally in the role. Was in the lead role, and then she later quit due to creative differences. And her and Judd Apatow have come out and both said that the reason why they quit is because Judd Apatow wanted to show an actual depiction of a baby getting born, like an actual birth, and had a mother lined up and everything like that. And she was like, no, I don't agree with that being committed to film and people thinking then that's me giving birth to a child. So, and then they ran into like a labor dispute because the baby that was being born would actually have to have a work permit to agree to being on a film. And of course it doesn't have a work permit because it's still inside a fucking womb. So it's like, so they had to do a fake one in the end anyway. So yeah,
so
quite an interesting bit of trivia.
It's a fake birth, but there's been plenty of births that have been filmed.
Nah.
On TV.
Oh, for documentaries and stuff like that. Sure. But yeah, like, For
a commercial film, mate.
Yeah, commercial
rules.
Hollywood film, yeah. But back to your point, Stacey, it's a tough one because you got to think of actresses that were like supremely hot back in 2007.
Do they have to be supremely hot? Isn't that the point? Couldn't we get someone more Seth Rogen-ish?
I reckon Drew Barrymore maybe.
Yeah, Drew Barrymore's good because she can play
goofy.
Sort of a lovable goof.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, she's hot, but she's, yeah.
Yeah. She definitely would change the characters around
her.
She'd
change
absolutely.
The whole dynamic.
She would be also funny, and Katherine Heigl just wasn't funny. Like, The funny part was her just being like this crazy woman, which she's not really.
Well, but Katherine Heigl actually got into quite a lot of grief in 2008, a year after this movie came out, where she basically said that this movie's quite misogynist and that all the female characters in this are just like sort of catty and
they are
and like she's right, like they're none of them are that redeemable. Like you're mentioning the scene where they're driving together and they're talking about how she caught him masturbating, like that's the only one real scene where they're like, you know, having a bit of a joke and a bit of a laugh around. You know, most of the time they're really uptight, they're real, you know, I like Spider-Man
sitting in the corner,
like Spider-Man.
Sitting in the corner just giving the guys dirty looks and try to run them down, where the guys always rise above it with their witty humor.
Yeah. And Kristen Wiig's character is just a bitch to her.
But hey guys, I think
power.
You're forgetting who absolutely blew everyone out of the water, and that's Charlotte, the young girl who googled murder she knows exactly
good.
How babies are made, and she knows what's up. So she was probably the strongest female character.
Which is sad, eh? That a movie gimmick is more powerful than the main leads.
So that's all of our controversial opinions, and that takes us down to the end of the podcast. Now, this is our last episode for a while because, baby life. We're going to have a little brief hiatus and make a bit of a return in a month or two once we've adjusted to that and sort of sorted out our sleeping patterns and, you know, actually have a decent sleep. All that sort of fun
stuff. And can think and function.
But yeah, so Thank you everyone that's listened. Thank you to all of our Patreons that give us this money to make this happen. What we're going to do is like a bit of a thank you. We've never really done this. We've never really looked at our iTunes reviews or pushed for them or anything like that. And as part of this, I actually went online. I put a tweet out and said, hey, you know, we're going to do a bit of a thank you. And this is what it is. We're just thanking everyone for taking us on this route to get us to here to episode 99. And obviously we've recorded episode 100 and that's coming out next week. And it's fucking awesome. And that's a good way to end. But as you know, because we're not adding anything more to that episode and it was recorded a couple of months ago, best that we take the time now to thank some of you guys that have basically reached out, left some 5-star reviews for us on iTunes. And yeah, just going to run through a couple of them now. The first of which is Dan Brennick. Oh, I love you, man. I love the Netflix and Swill podcast. It's another podcast that's flipping awesome. Haven't really spoken about it much on this podcast, but you guys should go all check it out. And I'll put a link down there below. And Dan was the most recent 5-star comment that he wrote about us. And he titled it The Compliment Sandwich. Good. Great chemistry between all of the hosts, even all the guests. Oh, Machu, you got a nod. Yay. Bad. Needs to be more than once a week. Good. They'll probably break us, Dan, but good. Yeah. Great and hilarious questions. It always leads to fun answers. Extremely unique podcast, and I love it. Thank you, Dan.
Oh, thank you so much. That means a lot to us.
You're the man, bro. Derelict88 wrote, Lesson 20, Movie Reviews in 20 Qs is a clever title and premise, however, it's full of depth. It flourishes in movie discussion by keeping it casual and fun while providing interesting analysis, movie trivia, etc. It's not self-serious, but at the same time, the hosts inject passion into their discussions. Any cinema buff, no matter how hardcore or casual, should listen and subscribe to the show. Thanks, man. Nick and Vince, wildly entertaining. A rich, casual, fast-pacing and entertaining film podcast. Try to keep up as they rapid-fire trivia, reviews and questions are all about film. We learn something from every ep we now subscribed. MaglioFan123, a joy to listen to. I'll be listening to movie reviews in 20 Qs for some time and it's so much fun. It's down the earth. Yep, we are down on the earth. And lighthearted, doesn't take itself too seriously like some other movie review channels do. I've got my whole family hooked on the show. Awesome job, guys.
Wow, spreading the love. Thank you.
J. Blake Manor, I know who that is. Thank you, Jess. Cool premise. You could listen to movie review podcasts for days, but this is a really unusual, fun, and interesting way to come at it. Plus, they are hysterical.
Hysterical?
Hysterical.
Wow.
Thank you. Midnight Rider. Okay, Renegade on Twitter. Just finished the parted episode. I'm new to podcasts. Been listening to them only a few weeks or so. This is by far the most entertaining one I've heard so far, and I would most likely watch a movie I'm not interested in just to hear their 20 questions.
Aww.
Midnight Rider, you will be very stoked to have your question in our top 100 next time. A couple of other sort of reviews here are almost a year old, but yeah, there's tons of awesome ones on there. We've had over 148 ratings, of which 147 5-star. We've had one 1-star review, which well, that's the US iTunes. I'm just going to go over to the New Zealand iTunes as well because we've got an awesome review on here. These guys are amazing. Easily New Zealand's best film and TV show. So funny and informative. I love it, especially when they have Machu on. He's the man. And that was from the user Not Machu.
Jeez, Not Machu. I just want to say that not only are you good looking, witty, charming, but you're my favourite person in the world. Now and forever.
Bloody masturbatory. Well, we've got to do a big thanks, hey, Stacey. This is our sort of like sign off for a little bit.
Yep.
Thank you everyone that's ever listened. Thank you everyone that's contributed to the show, answers our like listener questions or, you know, suggests questions to us, suggests movies, all that sort of shit. It's been fun.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an amazing, absolute blast. And like I said in my earlier question, this is not a great business idea. I didn't even think it would be a great hobby when we started off with.
Not a great idea.
Yeah. But as it turns out, it was a great idea and it's lots of fun and it's great just hanging around with our mates, talking about movies and sharing it with people who want to listen. It's a real buzz.
Yeah, it is. And you guys have been great. Like, there's too many of you to name, but we've got some awesome listeners that likes, like, all the other podcasts that come on the show, likes of Tara Maholic and people like that, that Gillian Ashton, that get in contact with me all the time, that, you know, reach out and let us know how awesome or shit we're doing or our opinions are fucking stupid. We love it. We love it. We think it's awesome. I think it's great. Yeah. You guys are awesome.
All feedback is good, and it's great to have the interaction so we know we're not just talking to ourselves out there.
And of course, like, big shout out to our premier sponsors as well, the ones that give us $5 or more. We've got a new addition to that is Rosa. She's a recent addition that we are going to reach out and get her to, we can, whatever movie she picks is going to be our first movie back.
Thank you, Rosa. We're super excited. We can't wait to hear from you.
Exactly. And her question will also be featured probably last. We'll finish on that and we'll do as much promo about how awesome she is that she likes. But yeah, that's pretty much it. If you like the show and want to get in contact with us, we'll still be active on our social medias. You can find us on Twitter at Movie Reviews In. You can find us on Facebook at Movie Reviews In 20Qs. Or you can send us an email at mritqs@gmail.com. You want to support the show and help us turn this hobby into a business, as Stacey has alluded to, you can. We don't mind. We enjoy putting this out there for you guys for free. But yeah, that's thanks for me.
Thanks.
Cheers.